Dave Jennings on the line, and we're going to be talking about SEO, in other words, how to get free traffic from the search engines. I first met David at James Schramko's Fastword Formula 2 event here in Sydney, and I immediately knew that he was a really smart guy because once I got talking to him, we discovered that we were doing a lot of the same things and our businesses looked really similar. And he's my favorite type of marketer. He's one of the underground guys. He's not a guru. He's actually out there in the trenches every day doing internet marketing, not just talking about it and not, getting promoted by the good boys club. He's got to, stand up on his own marketing skills. So welcome to the call, Dave.
Thank you. And thanks for the very kind introduction. I'll see if I can live up to the reputation.
You won't have any problems. Mate, so tell us a bit about your personal background and what you're actually doing before you got into this internet marketing thing.
Yeah, for me, I first got interested in direct mail and that type of thing way back when I was actually just finishing up my final year in school. Like, I was in year 12, and one of the guys in my class was trading the stock market at the time, and, he was telling me how much money he was making while we were sitting in class, and, I felt a little bit of a dummy. Here I was just taking classes, not making any money, and I had one of my friends who was telling me how much he was making. And I got really interested in the stock market very early on with this, and then got interested in some personal development. And a lot of you guys who have already gone through personal development courses, they always talk about this idea that when you go to school and university, they're training you to get a job. They're not necessarily training you to go out there in the real world and make real money. So I thought very early on that I wasn't going to go to uni, even though I went to a really good school here in Melbourne, got excellent marks. Was going to go on a uni course, then decided, no, I'm going to take out a $5,000 loan and I'm going to do a stock market course. And it was a weekend course where I was going to learn everything I needed to know about trading and make $1 million within a month, that whole get rich quick thing. And it all sounded fantastic. And when I got started, it really was, I look back and it was one of the best things that I did do, because it got me out of that regular rhythm of the 9-to-5 rat race, which I suppose all too often people can very easily fall into. And I started getting interested in the stock market, and then I realized, hang on, to make a big splash in both stock market and also in real estate investing, which is another area that I'm interested in, you need to have some good cash flow coming through, and you need to have some sort of asset or business or something that's generating cash flow that you can then funnel into other wealth creation avenues. So when I realized that, I thought, right, I need something to sell, a product to sell. And being interested in the stock market stuff, a friend and I, we ended up writing a home study course on a particular stock market package, teaching people how to use it, because the community we were in, we were finding a lot of people were having trouble with this software and we seemed to have no worries with it. So we created a home study package, which is called the MetaStock Programming Study Guide. It's still a core part of my business is selling stock market education material. And that's really where I got my grounding in the whole internet marketing, because I realized you can have a fantastic product, but it really doesn't mean anything unless people are seeing it and you're getting that product in front of people and having the marketing to back it up. So got interested in all the old school guys, direct mail, started to look at your Dan Kennedy's, your Jay Abraham. And over time that then started to evolve. I got interested in someone who was marketing online called Ken Evoy, and he was the maker behind SiteSell, which was just a step-by-step web build-it style program. And then I got introduced into a lot of the other IM stuff, and you come on board a lot of the guys you hear now, John Reese and Frank Kern and Ed Dale and all those guys, got very interested in that marketing early on, and even stuff like Corey Rudel when he was about, and Mark Joyner. So I've been around the space for a very, very long time and started to apply everything that I knew and had learnt from direct mail and internet marketing over to my stock market education business. And then that kind of just exploded. And even today, that's like a very core driver. That's one of my primary income generators. Yeah. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's literally like, I'd say about 70% of that is like my exact backstory as well, very, very similar sort of timeline, getting involved sort of straight out of school, making the decision not to go to university to, create something off my own back and really back myself. And the one thing I really like about, the first course you made, you were basically leveraging an existing course that was out there, and you then, made something else to build on top of that, which really sort of highlights that, you don't have to be the guru or the expert about a particular topic to go out there and, teach it. You can actually teach someone else how you've been able to use something and really write off, you know, someone else's coattails. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, and I look back now and that really was good timing. I was getting, like, this was, what, 10 or 11, or actually it'd be about 10 or 11 years ago now, and internet marketing at that time was still very young in its infancy, and really positioned myself that way in that space as the Metastock expert, which is this charting package, and being at that place, the right time, the right place, leveraging off their product, I was really able to solidify myself as that expert in that niche, which then following that, I could just almost, you know, put my stamp of approval on products because, you know, I'll only promote products that I believe in and I'll only create products of a very high standard. And that reputation sort of just kept on rolling and rolling on rolling on itself. And looking back now, yeah, it was just, I kind of fell into it, but it worked out to be excellent positioning.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the strongest positions you can have is being that trusted source of information. I've seen so many people who have blown that by, you know, getting some kind of status in the market, and then, you know, I think the money gets the better of them and they just start promoting anything that comes down the pipeline, and you instantly lose any kind of credibility you have. Whereas if you really, you know, take that trusted advisor position to heart and only recommend things that either you use or that, you know, you've got some kind of personal experience with, it doesn't take long to really solidify that positioning where people trust what you say. And that's when the money starts coming really easily. And, you know, I've done the same thing. I've applied that to my internet marketing business, you know, my consulting business, the copywriting stuff I do. I've tried to take that to heart in everything I've done, and it really has made a big difference. You know, it makes making money a little bit slower at the start, but once that snowball picks up, it really does pick up in a very big way.
Yeah, if I think about, like, looking over my business now and the way that it looks, the actual model that I've set up, I've got a few different areas in that business as well. I think the stock market business is a really good one to look at first, just because it's such a solid business that, you know, all the funnels are set up and products are cross-selling and I've got a good product range. Like the real core part of that business, it's just an info product-based business, and anyone who's into internet marketing is going to be familiar with those types of product where they I love info product business because the cost of delivery for that product is so low relative to the price that you can sell it for. So it's got very high margins in it. You know, it might cost me $50 to create a home study course, but the material and content in it gives it a $500 or a $1,000 price tag because that material is in there. So the way that product business works, that info product business, is I've just got a few front-end lead generator products, usually lower price product that, you know, build on my reputation, giving excellent value at a very low price to get them introduced to what it is that I do, build up that trust with them, and then that introduces them to the second tier products, and they're sort of the higher priced home study courses like the Metastock Program and Study Guide, like Triple Your Trading Profits, like the Metastock Formula Center. We've got probably about 10 to 15 products on that second tier, and then shifting down below that tier, those products are more one-off, and then behind that we've got an online trading mastermind, which is an ongoing membership type product. So it really is just that classic funnel for info products, where you've got your cheap front end, higher price middle tier, and then your back end continuity, and we occasionally do things like workshops and things like that. That's just a really solid business model, and we started doing that, and that's, I suppose, when I started to get interested in SEO. When I got into this IM stuff, I wanted to drive as much traffic to these offers as I could. And I got interested in SEO and found, you know, we were absolutely dominating in the stock market space. Like, I mean, one of my proudest keywords, which we still own and have owned for a very long time, is trading systems. Now, the stock market niche is an incredibly competitive niche. And it started off with having people coming to me saying, "Hey, Dave, how are you doing this?" Because we had a whole host of different keywords, and still do, that we rank for in that space, in such a competitive space. It started off with people in the stock market space, and then sort of flowed on when we started to realize, hang on, this can be applied into any space. And that's when I started to realize, hang on, we're onto something. And then I started to help, like, some friends. I had, like, my dentist that I ended up helping rank, and he did extremely well very, very quickly. And I think that was because the methods that we developed were developed in the stock market niche, and that's a hyper-competitive niche. And when we started to apply those to niches outside of the stock market niche, it was just so easy, because when you're battling it out for local geographic type keywords, which we can talk about a little bit later, it just comes so much easier. And I suppose the stepping stone for me between that and before we started to show people how we do what it is that we do, I went and registered about 500 domain names, and this is about 6 years back now, and I took a lot of the content that was from Yannick Silver's Public Domain Goldmine. These were books that had fallen out of their copyright, and on a whole variety of different niches, everything from ballet dancing to rollerblading to French cooking to, you know, dog training, a whole lot of different niches. And we loaded up these 500 websites, and then we started testing a lot of our SEO method on it, and we honed this SEO method because I started to realize that it was very much replicatable as long as you could document what it is that you were doing and have a step-by-step system that you could repeat. We just started applying it to all of these websites, and we ended up just absolutely honing this system on these 500-odd domain names, and then that evolved into the course that we now sort of use in our own business, and we ended up setting up an SEO business. There were some changes in the Australian financial law with ASIC. They came out and made some changes based on what advice was considered financial advice and what's general advice. So there were some changes in my stock market business. So we started to shift a little bit away from that a couple of years ago, because we just thought, look, the regulation and all that type of stuff, it's just it's a little bit of a nightmare. Even though we had fantastic material and still do and sell a lot in that space, we just thought, you know, I don't want to be in a niche where potentially you could have your business ripped out from underneath you from some external forces. So that's when we fell into building up the whole SEO business, and we set up Melbourne SEO Services and started to offer these products and services to local businesses.
Okay, so what does your business look like now? You've mentioned trading, you've mentioned the SEO services. What's sort of your focus at the moment?
Yeah, we've got a couple of different things. I definitely didn't want to just drop the stock market business, because we developed such a huge presence in that niche and got, you know, a massive database, very good following, very loyal clients. So we keep that one going. It's not, I suppose, our core focus. Really shifted over into the SEO space now. We started to take on some clients, and the thing with taking on SEO clients for me, I've found when a client comes on board, they've paid for your time, and because they're paid for your time, you obviously need to deliver to them and be accountable. And because you're delivering a service, they want to keep checking in with you on a regular basis. Now, what I'm finding is, even though we've built up Melbourne SEO Services really quickly, brought on a whole lot of clients, I never set out to just build up an SEO business. For me, it was a little bit of a means to an end, so to speak. The SEO clients, as we're getting them on board, that's all about getting the cash flow to cover the overheads, to pay for our staff. You know, we've got a good team over in the Philippines. We've got some guys here in Australia. We've got the office and all that type of stuff. So we use the SEO business to cover those overhead expenses and, you know, get a little bit of that regular income coming through. But we never had visions of building out this massive SEO business. It's, as I said, it's a bit of a means to an end, because we like to be working on our own websites, and I find I get the best bang for my buck if I'm investing all of my SEO skill and knowledge straight back into my own businesses. So now what I'm looking for is, I prefer to either have, if I'm going to be working with a client, I like clients where I can get a piece of the action and have some sort of upside potential. You know, if I'm coming on board, rather than being on a set retainer fee, I'm getting a percentage of improvement over and above a baseline. That's one sort of deal that we either look at, or the other deal that we look at, which is where we're really falling into, is a bit more of the buying, building and selling websites. So effectively, it's buying, building and selling web businesses, and we just apply the systems that we've developed using Melbourne SEO Services as a method or a way for us to develop these systems and get paid to do it. Now we've got these systems, and you know, we ran different workshops and things like that where we documented the process. So now I can scale up quite largely. Like, I mean, if I've got a new staff member who comes on board, there's a lot of training material that they can go through to get up to speed on the way that we do things. And then we invest that all back into building up our own portfolio of websites. So that's kind of
very smart. Yeah, very smart. That's one of the strategies I teach. You know, consulting is a fantastic way, you know, to make some money, get cash flow coming in. But at the end of the day, you don't want to be a consultant your own life, and you don't want to have clients to, you know, rely on to make money. So one of the core strategies I teach is, you know, take some clients to fund your own adventures, whether that's buying websites, building your own properties, because, you know, that's where the real money is. The real money is in, you know, having your own list of customers, your own people you can sell stuff to, you know, your own core business that's over and above clients. So I just use clients to fund my own little projects. And I do similar things to you as well. Yeah, getting a percentage above base, getting a percentage of, you know, a project fee or something like that. Anything where I'm moving from that time for money situation to getting paid on performance is always a smart move. Yeah. So, yeah, very, very smart. Like I said at the start of the thing, I think we're doing very similar things in different parts of the country. So it's good to see that I'm not the only one doing this stuff. So look, SEO is obviously one of your specialties. It's something you're really good at. And you make some pretty bold claims that, you know, you can rank position number one on Google in any niche every single time. And, you know, frankly, I've seen a lot of people make similar claims. And when you really look in and, you know, look at the fine print, you see that they're either talking about like 5-word key phrases, long tail words with, you know, very, very few searches that would be really easy to rank for, or they're using more of, you know, the black hat methods that might get sites ranked pretty quickly, but they also sort of get banned or kicked out of the search engines after not time ranking. So I think you mentioned trading system before, but can you give us a couple of examples of, you know, other types of keywords you've been able to rank for either you or your clients?
Yeah, so I suppose, like, I mean, some other ones, I have a big interest in a website called Planet 13 and sells rock and roll related merchandise. And one of our primary keywords we've gone after there is band merch. And there's like hundreds of keywords on that website. You can just about take any band name, add the word merch to it, and in Australia we're coming up number one. We do a lot of things for clients as well. Like, I don't reveal too much on client sites, but I mean, one we're going after that we're ranking number one for Printing Melbourne, and we've owned that, so we're looking at going after just printing, and we're on page number one for printing. Then we've got obviously Melbourne SEO Services. We rank number one obviously for that, but it's in our primary, like, I mean, it's in our domain name, so it's an easy one to rank for. But we're also now going after SEO Services, which obviously is in a hyper-competitive niche being in SEO, and we're on page number one for that. You know, we're in, I don't know, position number three or four. We're sort of working towards that. The actual, you know, we're going up against companies that have been in the SEO space as an SEO business for, you know, a good few number of years. We've only been selling our services in the SEO space for, you know, what are we now, about 8 or 9 months, and we've just sort of come on board and really just smashed it out of the park. As far as saying that you can rank for any keyword anytime, what it really comes down to is understanding that if someone else can do it, you can do it. Now, what we need to do is just reverse engineer what it took them to get to position number one. So we can, using something like Market Samurai or Majestic SEO, or there's plenty of different tools out there to be able to analyze what the competition is doing. And when it all comes down to it, it's a numbers game with backlinks. Obviously, you want to make sure that you get your on-page optimization done correctly. That is, choosing the right keyword and then having it in the right places on the page. But when it comes down to it, it's just building links. So what you need to do, for me to say you can rank number one for any niche for any time, you've just got to understand that it costs time and money to build those links. So you need to know that, you know, you need to understand your business model enough that you can go, it's worth me investing the time and the effort to build X number of links that I know I need to build to take that position. And by that, you need to understand your business model. Like, if you want to go after, I'm trying to think of a good example. Someone contacted me the other day and said that they wanted to be number one for, I think it was either massage or I think it was something health related, like I'm sure it was massage. And I dug a little bit deeper and said, okay, well, why do you want to rank number one? What is your profit model? What is it that you're looking to? How are you planning on taking money out of the market once you do get that to position number one? And he was selling, he had set up a blog site and he was selling, it was like a $30 ebook and he was getting 50% commission. So he needed to basically sell, you know, how many copies would he need to sell of a $15 ebook to be able to pay and reach break even to build enough backlinks to go after a very competitive term like massage? So he just didn't have the right monetization model. It would be silly for him to go after that keyword. And to a point, you want to get to a point where once you do start to get some traffic to your website, it almost becomes self-funding, and then you can funnel the profits that that business is making back into these very competitive keywords and go after the competitive terms over the longer time. Like the way that I do something, especially when I'm working for a local business, I'll go for whatever the industry is, and then I'll usually put something in like Melbourne or Sydney or, you know, Brisbane or whatever that area is. So I'll go after printing Melbourne. And then once we get printing Melbourne, then all of the links that we've been building, backlinks for printing Melbourne, still will help us going after the printing keywords. And now we just focus in on printing as our primary keyword. So I suppose in answer to your question, to tie all that up, is basically just to think in terms of you can rank number one for any position. You just need to look at what the competition's doing, determine how many backlinks they've got, have a strategy for building those backlinks. That strategy is going to take time and money to implement, so you need to determine, right, it's going to cost me X thousand of dollars to build, you know, 100,000 backlinks or however many backlinks you need to take a position, and then go, right, is it worth my while going after that keyword? That's another thing. I suggest that you do PPC testing first, pay-per-click stuff on Google AdWords, so you test and know what keywords you should be going after, because there's no point in going after a keyword in an SEO space if you don't know if it's going to convert. You might get number one, but no one's actually buying on that keyword, so you've just wasted all of that time and effort. So there's another little tip.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you do that. I see so many people who are like so adverse to spending like $100 on Google AdWords, but they're happy to spend a couple of $100 in a couple of months, you know, basically testing using SEO only to find out that the keywords don't convert. So that's another strategy I've used quite successfully, is testing through PPC. I think one of the core things you mentioned there is really understanding, you know, your business model and how you make money and how much a client's worth to you. And like you alluded to it, it's almost a mathematical numbers game once you understand that. You know, you can literally say, okay, well, a new customer is worth $1,000, and you can just backtrack and work out, okay, well, how much money can we invest and how many clicks can we get and how much profit we can make, and you can work out what keywords you go after and, you know, how to approach it.
Yeah.
So you touched on your actual strategy. You know, you talked about, obviously, it's all about backlinks, and you'll go after more of a longer-term tail first. Longer-term keyword first, and then go for the bigger ones. But can you give us sort of your big-picture SEO strategy? How do you approach trying to rank a website and various keywords on that website?
So the biggest thing that you need to do when developing an SEO strategy is create something, a method. Like, there's plenty of different ways to build backlinks. Obviously, you need to start off with good keyword research, targeting the right keywords, as we talked about. Then you need to do your on-page optimization, just making sure that you get that keyword that you selected. Usually you go for, each page should only go for one keyword and maybe a couple of variations, but can't try and keep that very focused. Then you need to have the keyword in the right places, you know, your title tag, meta descriptions. Meta keywords doesn't really matter anymore, but I still just do it for, you know, just standard practice for us, then a few times throughout the page. You don't really need to do much more than that for your on page. Then as far as the big picture process for the way that we do our link building strategy, you need to come up with a very step-by-step repeatable process, because SEO is all about having repeatable process. And if the method that I'm going to give you and that we use, if you just did that once and it's only you applying that strategy, you're not going to be able to reach your goals really quickly. You need to have something that is very easily replicatable so you can keep scaling it up depending on what keyword you're going after and how much competition. So the way that we do it is we start off with directory submissions and we just use Directory Maximizer. And the reason we do that is just so that we get a good variety of inbound links back to the home page with the URL as the anchor text for our link building profile. Because, you know, if we're building links to a website, we don't want to have all of the links, 100% of the links, saying the anchor text is exactly the keyword we're trying to rank for. So, you know, Melbourne SEO services, that's not the only keyword that I build backlinks for. I also build backlinks using the domain name, and I'll also use variations. So we start off with directories for that reason. They're not hugely effective other than it gives us a good variety of the inbound links from just using the URL as the anchor text. Then we look at taking articles and we submit them to eZine Articles, and we submit it through there. Then we look at once they've been approved, we then look at spinning the article while it's getting approved. We also then look at submitting through to a whole series of second tier article websites. The eZine Articles is a top level article directory that you can submit articles to and get backlinks back to your website. There are a whole second tier, not as popular websites that can still be a good source of inbound backlinks. And we just use a service called Content Crooner. There's plenty of different services out there that will you can submit to and you'll get the inbound links that way. Then we look at taking that article, which we spun a couple of times, and we submit it into some blog networks. You know, AMA, Portal Feeder, you know, we use a whole host of blog networks that we use. Then we also look at building up our own network. So, you know, we've done a lot of testing on a whole lot of Web 2.0 properties and found about 10 web properties that get indexed by Google, that have follow links, and basically have, we create our own mini network of websites. And I know some of these things I'm talking at a reasonably high level. If you've got a little bit of understanding of SEO, then this is going to make sense. If it doesn't, you probably need to go a little bit in depth and get a bit more training on this to understand each of the steps. But we've got the Web 2.0 network that we do build up, and we use that to then link back to our own website. And we also go very heavy on promoting our Web 2.0 network using the blog networks. So we link to a lot of the Web 2.0 properties that we set up from the blog networks as well. And there's a few other things that you can do beyond that. That should be well and truly enough to get most people to rank. Usually the way that I say it is just start off at step one, directories, then move to eZine Articles and monitor your rankings. You should use something like Authority Labs or Market Samurai has a rank tracker to see where you're ranking. Now, if you get the position one that you're after, quit there. You don't need to keep on building links. You can monitor it, but once you get to number one, you can't move any higher than number one. So monitor your links using some sort of service, or monitor your web pages for the keywords you're going after using some services. So that way you can slowly, as you get these rankings, start funneling your attention into the pages that aren't ranking. And you just step down, you go the eZine Articles, then you have a look at, you know, like the second tier article directories, and you might be getting rankings for those keywords just by doing those first three stages. You only need to keep moving through to the next stage if you haven't secured the position that you're looking to get. Then you might move into your blog networks, then you might move into your Web 2.0 and building out your own web strategy. There's a few other things that we do with web video and stuff like that, but as that's kind of, you know, videos rank on their own, separate from ranking your own website. That's the strategy that we use for ranking your own website. Was that clear enough, Kyle?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, some of this might sound a bit maybe technical or hard for people if they don't have, you know, the core SEO training like what you teach. But, I mean, I'm not an SEO expert, but I, you know SEO, and this really is the basic stuff. You know, it's the stuff that's been working for a long time. I think it's good to hear that, you know, you're really only doing the basics. There's nothing super technical here. There's nothing super fancy. It's, you know, just the good old basics. Do it until you get rankings and move on to the next thing. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really good to see that... you really are doing stuff that, you know, one can do. There's nothing hard here at all.
I think the real key that makes this work is the strategy in which you use to tie it together, and then the method in which you use to make sure that it happens and it's repeatable. Because if you're running, let's say you're a local business owner, and if you're running your local business, the last thing that you want to be doing is sitting there writing e-zine articles. You need to do what you can to outsource that so you can focus in on what you do best, which is delivering a quality product or service to your end user, and then, you know, you'll get the raving friends, you'll get the testimonials, all that type of stuff, and let your business build that way. If you're an SEO consultant, on the other hand, again, in fact, both positions, you need to see what you can do to build up what I'm talking about as a step-by-step repeatable system that works outside of you. That really is the key. The money is in the system. You'll make the most money when you step out of it and you can have this process just happen. It's almost like an evolving system where now what we do is once you start to get these things happening and we keep building links, you then want to monitor what keywords are driving traffic to your website but aren't in position number one, but they're on page number one. So what's basically, you go into your Google Analytics, you look at what pages are driving traffic, you have a look at those pages. If they're in position one, you're not building links to them anyway, but if you're on page one, not in position number one, and it's driving traffic to your website, those should be the keywords that you focus on first. You should probably only pick between 5 and 10 keywords at any one point in time that you build links for specifically, because if you try and go any wider than that, you'll find it's quite hard to implement for most people. And then, of course, that doesn't draw away from the fact that you can do stuff like, you know, if you've got a blog, you can go for longer tail keywords. What I'm talking about here is going for your more competitive phrases that you need to build links for. When you do your keyword research, you might find longer tail 3 and 4 keyword phrases that because you're building links to your primary site and, you know, it's building up authority, you can end up ranking for those keywords without doing any backlinking just by the virtue of there's not a huge amount of competition. And, you know, we all know it's worth doing study into the idea between a buying phrase and a browsing phrase. The idea that buying phrases, the keywords that are usually longer tail, a buying phrase might be someone searching Sony Handycam HR-S11. That's a very specific model that they're looking for versus if someone just typed in digital cameras or something like that. You want to be targeting those very specific buying phrases because they're also the ones, typically speaking, they're easier to get, but they will also convert much, much higher.
Yeah, well, they know exactly what they want. They're looking for a specific model. You know, they've probably already done all their research and now they're just, you know, shopping around for the best deal, whether that's, you know, the best price or the best service or, you know, being whatever they're looking for. It's much easier to make a sale for them, whereas a person searching for digital cameras, you know, they're much, much earlier in the buying process. They're looking for information, you know, they're really at stage one, and you really need an entirely different marketing funnel to convert that person into a sale. You can't just, you know, show them a picture of a camera and give them a good price because they're nowhere near making that decision just yet.
Yep, exactly right.
Cool. Now, I love what you said about outsourcing. You know, most of the people listening to this are going to be in consulting or interested in consulting. And, you know, one of the first things I try and get everyone to do is just start outsourcing whatever you can, because like you said, you know, you can't be the one sitting there writing e-zine articles. That's not how you make money. That's like a $5 an hour job, if that. You need to be focusing on, you know, talking to clients and getting business coming in the door and outsourcing this kind of sort of grunt work as soon as possible. And that's the importance of having a system so that you can just hand it off to someone else.
Yeah, I think outsourcing is like a real key point for us. And I mean, we do a lot through the Philippines. We advertise on a website called Job Street, which is effectively like seek.com.au here in Australia. And I mean, there are plenty of different ways that you can do it. You can go through third-party services that will source them for you, but we do insourcing. We actually bring on our own staff. We do our own training because I want someone skilled up in the way that we do things. So we use Job Street to hire that, and you can get some great talent from the Philippines, depending on what you want. The Philippines is good for a lot of English related stuff. We also, you know, things like Serbia, Russia, we find they're quite good for graphics and coding. And you know, there's a few, Egypt is another one we've had good experience with for coders as well. So I think the sooner that you can just start outsourcing stuff, the better you'll be.
Yeah, it's not as scary as you first think. So you've probably answered this question already, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Just say someone's got a site and it's ranking, you know, maybe sit on the first page and they want to move it up to that number one position. What's, you know, the one thing they could do today, or what's the first thing you do to try and start improving those rankings? Would it be as simple as just writing some articles? Would you, you know, throw some directory power at it? What would you do?
If I had to give just one thing, I'd probably say eZine articles. You know, I'd pump out 10 articles on eZine articles, and in the resource box you can send both homepage links and deep links. So I'd send, you know, one link to the homepage, one link to a deep page, the keyword that I was trying to rank for. I think that's probably a good place to start. And then beyond that, if it's a space where you know you're going to be operating for a long time in, it's a good idea to go over and register some Web 2.0 properties. Go to WordPress.org, which, you know, you can host a WordPress site on their website. Go to Blogger, go to Posterous, go to Tumblr. Get, you know, three or four of these sites and build up, you know, take the 10 articles that you posted on eZine and rewrite them somewhat a little bit. Post them on your Web 2.0 network, and then sign up for something like a blog network and start to heavily promote that Web 2.0 network. It's just, if you're building links, the reason I sort of shy away from using blog networks specifically to your primary money page is it's somewhat grey hat, I suppose, building backlinks through blog networks. It still works incredibly well. I don't think you could ever get penalized for backlinks to your website, because if that was the case, you just go to your competition, send them a whole lot of bad backlinks, and then get them de-indexed out of Google. So I don't think you could ever get in trouble with it. But for the person who is new getting into this space, blog networks might not be the best place to start until you understand what's going on with it. It's just because used incorrectly, I think potentially it might be able to get you into trouble. But, you know, if you put that buffer between you, like I said, and use these blog networks to build links to the Web 2.0, and then the Web 2.0 links back to your website, you know, you can go hog wild and you can't really stuff it up.
Good advice. And just on the Web 2.0 stuff, are you going down the link wheel route, or is it much simpler than that, just sort of directly linking back?
Directly linking back, I only tend to go link wheel stuff if I'm rolling out mass numbers. Like, I mean, this is the whole age-old argument of people talking about registering mini networks. And, you know, when we registered those 500 domain names, I tried a whole lot of stuff like that. Like, I mean, we had, you know, 10 different hosting accounts. Some of the hosting accounts had different, you know, you could choose from 10 different class C IP addresses. I was registering them in my mum's maiden name and friend's name and using different addresses and doing whatever I could to separate this network out. And then I started to realize, hang on, for 99% of what most people, you really only need to do that if you're going after credit cards and stuff like that. For most niches, you just don't need to worry. Google knows and recognizes the fact that people have more than one website. That's okay. So I don't worry about the sneaky stuff anymore. I used to do a lot of that stuff. If you're building on a Web 2.0 network, you're building up these little supporting sites. It's okay to link directly. It's only if you were doing, you know, 500 or, you know, 50 accounts on WordPress.org and they were all linking back to your website that you might then consider doing a linking link wheel or web ring or something like that. But if you're only doing one on each, and I think that's where most people are at, trying to just do one, like, I mean, they're having a hard enough trying to just implement some basic SEO, let alone trying to build out a complicated blog network or Web 2.0 network. So for me, I don't worry so much. I do use those services, though, that's as an outsourcing. You know, there's different linkwheels.net. There's a couple of different websites like that that will build out the sites for you. We use those, but then we just jump in there and do our own work on them after that.
Yeah, that's kind of been my advice to people, is if if you don't know if you should use something or not, don't use it, because you're probably not advanced enough to need to use it. You know, really stick with the basics, because you can go a long way. Like you said, you know, for some of these long tail keywords, especially localized terms, or if you're playing in the Australian market, you can rank a website with like one link or just posting one thing to a WordPress blog. So you really don't need to go super advanced until you're at a level where you're going for, you know, 1 and 2 word keywords in super competitive markets. And by that time, you know, you're advanced enough that you know what you need to do to sort of move up the rankings. So that's good advice.
Cool.
Now, Google likes to play games with this and just make it difficult. Have you noticed any sort of impact from the latest Google changes, Google Instant Search, or the latest Places integration? They're now integrating the Places results in any search result that they deem a local search. Have you noticed an impact?
I work on quite a large, like, I mean, we've got access to quite a large number of sites with varying forms of traffic. Now, I have seen some changes. Typically, the ones that I'm seeing that are seeing changes are those that don't have a Google Places account set up. For those that already have Google Places set up and have been set up correctly, we've not seen really any change. I see this a lot. Like, I mean, you'll see when a big change like that happens, a lot of SEOers will come out and they might say, you know, is this going to change the face of the way search engines work? Fundamentally, Google is built on this whole idea of these backlinks back to your website and then helping the priority. Like, I mean, that's the core of the way that their algorithm works. So they're doing different twists. That said, though, I don't really change the strategy so much for what I do. You know, we have started to implement and integrate in Google Places. Like, it's very important if you are operating in that local space, you need to register your listing. You need to fill it out properly. You need to make sure that you use the appropriate address. You need to make sure that you add videos and add images and fill it out as best as you can, because that's definitely going to help you. You might add coupons and, you know, show that there's some activity and you're actually caring and loving for your Google Places account. For those clients that we had set up Google Places, we've experienced very little change, if not an improvement. For the websites that didn't have Google Places, we did see a slight reduction in traffic, and I think that's partly because, you know, the organic listings are getting pushed further down the page and you're seeing a lot more of that integration. But all we've had to do is then go out and add our Google Places account and do what we can. We're running lots of different tests to find out what will get us the best bang for buck to get our Google Places rankings working. At the moment, the biggest thing that we're testing is seeing what happens if we're building backlinks to our Google Places listing account to see if that's going to have much of an impact. Still probably a little early days for me to make a definitive call on that. But then outside of that, like, you know, the Band Merch website's a good example that I'm comfortable talking about. That particular site, a lot of the terms aren't geographic based keywords, so when someone searches for it, we're not seeing the integration of Google Maps into it, so it hasn't really affected that. So the best thing that you can do is keep following the good, solid fundamentals that you'll learn from Kyle as far as what you need to do for making sure your website's up to date and be on top of things. As things do pop out, don't freak out and think, hey, this is going to change the way that SEO is going to work forever. Just take that new piece of tool or whatever's launched and, you know, sign up for it. Try and enter your details. See what happens. You know, a little while ago they launched Google Hotpot. That's only a couple of weeks old. And that is basically taking Google Places and making it more social, so your friends can start to like things in Google Places and then you can see what your friends are liking. And, you know, it's too early to see whether or not those types of things are going to affect the rankings. And, you know, who knows, it might ultimately end up changing things when, you know, they're doing personalized search. Even personalized search, people talked about, you know, personalized search, that's going to change the way that the web works forever, because once someone's logged into their account, they're going to be seeing a completely different result. We are seeing minor changes in results based on personalized search, but it's more so, you'll notice, it's more so things like if you're clicking your own website 50 million times, obviously it's a website you're visiting on a regular basis. Google's going to go, wow, he really does think this website's important. Let's shift it to the top of the rankings. So I'll see customization in personalized search there, but for normal everyday searching, there's very, very little change. I think over time that will change, especially like I was saying with the introduction of this hot pot and, you know, Google's obviously wanting to get more social and there's interaction. Google, without a doubt, is monitoring what's going on in the social space, and it's probably only a matter of time before links on Twitter and likes and things like that from Facebook are going to get integrated into the search algorithm. I think it's only a matter of time, but it's not here yet. It's probably a long way down the track. So just keep what you're doing, integrating these new technologies as they're coming out. And that's why I get so excited and passionate about SEO. It's constantly evolving. New stuff's always coming out. It keeps my attention.
Yeah, you never get bored. I think the important thing to remember is, you know, Google's just trying to deliver the best possible result for the end searcher. So if you always keep that end searcher in mind, think about the keyword that you're trying to provide, exactly what that person who is searching is looking for, then, you know, whatever you're doing, Google's going to rank you somewhere near the top. And as long as you're, you know, using, I guess, these core fundamentals of SEO, and like you said, you know, testing these new technologies when they come out, see how you can provide real value by using these technologies, I think you're always going to be, you know, heading in the right direction. You know, results fluctuate. Some days you'll be first, other days you'll drop out of the listings, and the next day you'll come back to second or whatever. You know, that's always happening. But I think the general trend will always be up if you do, you know, follow the core fundamentals that we're talking about here.
And to build on that as well, and I mean, this is pretty outrageous for an SEO guy to say this, but for me, SEO really is just very much a means to an end. And once you use SEO correctly and you get yourself to a certain critical mass and you've got that attention, SEO starts to happen naturally if you're putting out good quality products and services and providing a good product. What I mean there is people will start linking to you if you're providing a good service. And that's really the holy grail of SEO, to getting to a point where it happens naturally. So I use SEO as a means to an end to get us up to critical mass, and then you'll find that SEO just sort of seems to take over from then and happens naturally. Because like you said, that's what Google's ultimately doing. It just wants to serve the best results to the end user, and that's going to let the crowd determine that. We just use SEO to kickstart that campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. So look, the reason I got you on the call today is because I bought your product, the SEO Method, a couple of weeks ago now, and I thought it was just a fantastic resource for teaching, you know, the core fundamental SEO skills that, frankly, a lot of people are missing. You know, a lot of people come into the consulting area and they see it as a good way to provide value to people. They see it as, I guess, an easy way to make money, which, you know, it is, but they're kind of missing some of those fundamental skills, and because of that, they lack a bit of confidence when they're approaching businesses, because even if they know they can outsource SEO, if they don't know, you know, what's going on in that, really talk about it intelligently to a business owner, it does affect their confidence. So that's why I got you on the call, because you've got this product, the SEO Method, and it's a really solid process. And you basically teach everything, you know, we've been talking about today, exactly how to get ranked, you know, number one on Google pretty consistently if you just followed the method. So can you tell us a bit more about the actual product and what's involved in that?
Yeah, I think when we first created that product, we didn't actually set out to create a product. As I said, I was very much in the stock market space, and all the original SEO Method was created for my team to help us rank in our space. So you'll actually notice with the first two videos in the series, the audio, I didn't have a little mic. This is the actual training that I recorded for my staff, and we still use for my staff to this day. So when we hire someone in the Philippines, one of the first things that they do is they go through and watch this course. But mindful of that, the first two videos, I always like to let people know that the audio may not be 100%, but this is the material that I use and give to my guys. So you're not getting some repackaged, here's not what I do. This is the training that I give. And on the third video, one of my guys said, hey, you know, there's a good chance further down the track this might turn into a course. And that's the final course, the final video in the SEO Method, which is the strategy one. You know, we got the good sound and got that all set up. This particular course we recorded some time ago, and we're still applying it and still getting fantastic results. One thing I know I was chatting with Kyle about a little while ago is, you know, a little while ago we ran a workshop here in Melbourne, and again it was for some staff training, and it's effectively going to be the SEO method 2.0, and that's coming down the pipeline, and it's still a little bit of a way off. So what we thought I wanted to do is offer you guys a chance to get that. I know Kyle's going to probably add some stuff in to sweeten the deal to make sure that, you know, you guys get the most out of the course. But also what we'll arrange is, because this other course is coming down the line, if you get the original SEO method, you'll get a credit for the original SEO method course, should you want to get the DVDs for the new one, which is coming out later. But I'm telling you now, what you'll get from, and you'll probably end up getting the DVDs cheaper, because I always look after previous clients if someone's purchased through me. So it's definitely worth jumping on board this one, and you'll get access to version number two when it comes out. But the actual course, it's what we use, it's what we apply, it's in that step-by-step process manner. I don't know, I can't speak too much more about it for fear of turning into a sales pitch call, other than, you know, this is what I tested out, I eat this stuff for breakfast, I live and breathe SEO, so this is a culmination of all of that.
Yeah, look, I think we've explained your method and your process, and if people, you know, resonate with that and can see how that works and be drawn to the product, and, you know, we don't need to pitch it, we don't need to sell it. I think the fact that your outsourcers are still using this to get the rankings and the results that you've been talking about is, you know, testament enough. And as I said, I bought the product, I laid down my own money, and I think it's a really solid product. So it gets my recommendation. And if you go to the SEOMethodBonus.com, you'll see I've put together a little package just to sweeten the deal and get you over the line. Now, there's one final question I want to ask, because this always comes up in the comments, or someone's always thinking this in the back of their mind. You know, if all this stuff works so well, why would you teach data to people? You know, aren't you just creating competition for yourself?
Yeah, it's funny. I got this question a lot in the stock market space as well, which is, you know, if you're so successful trading the stock market, why don't you just trade the stock market, and why do you sell education products? For me, I see myself as a complete entrepreneur. You know, I got my days very, very early on with the personal development niche, and I, you know, I went and saw your Brad Sugars, who's an Australian guy who was all about becoming this complete entrepreneur. You know, your Mal Emery's, some of these old school guys, and it was all about three areas. And it's even Robert Kiyosaki. There are three main areas in the way that you can create wealth. You've got business, trading, and real estate. So business for me is where I generate my cash flow, and then that cash flow then gets funneled over into my trading and also my real estate. So my business is the info product game. Like, as much as I talked about doing clients, sites, and things like that, and that helps fund the overhead expenses, for me, a big driver of the way that I generate wealth into some of these other avenues is selling info product. Now, am I going to be creating a competition for myself in the metastock space? Maybe. I think I'm so far ahead of the game in the metastock space and positioning, and having been there for 7 years, and that's a real core driver for my business. It would be extremely difficult to knock me out. And also, I never really see, let's say something like that did happen, I often don't see that as competition, as, you know, if someone else comes into the space and they're aggressively marketing, for me that's good, because they end up being potential joint venture partners, and, you know, having savvy internet marketers out there that I don't have to explain a product launch to them, or I don't have to explain, you know, doing JVs and things like that. For me, that's a good thing. As far as, you know, competition in other spaces, you know, we've evolved this system somewhat. I feel confident that we do it some of the best in Australia, if not the world, the way that we've systematized everything and the way that we do our teams, the way that there are so many different niches out there. It's just, there's so much opportunity out there. And for me, the way that you will move forward quickest is to give out your best ideas, and sell your best ideas. If you try and hoard and keep those good ideas to yourself, you'll find, I think, sure, I might be creating some competition, but By getting that out there, the flow-on benefit that I get, like now I'm positioning myself as an SEO expert. So when someone comes to me for my Melbourne SEO services, they go, this guy is an expert. He can charge a premium price because I've really positioned myself as the expert. So for me, I don't even see that as a reason. There's many reasons why you just want to get out there and get that information out there. I know there's other people doing SEO, and I know they're probably doing it in a similar way, or you know, no doubt they've got their own spin on it. So you know, there's a good chance that they might come out, and there's plenty of other SEO courses out there as well. We definitely offer something unique, but if I'm not going to get it out, someone else is. So it might as well be me that gets it out, and then I get that expert positioning. So there's a few things there.
Yeah, I think they're all really solid points. I mean, from my own experience, I've always made more money by teaching my ideas and all the flow-on effects of that, such as having new partners in the market, just other people advancing my own ideas and saying, hey, check out this thing. You know, I took your basic idea and, you know, scaled it this way or advanced it in this way. You know, all that kind of stuff, it really does add up, and you make so much more money by teaching your best stuff and putting it out into the marketplace and just letting everyone benefit. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why this objection comes up, and I see it, like I said, all the time, and frankly, it's the people who sort of have the wrong mindset in the first place, but I think one of the reasons it comes up is there's kind of this perception that there's not really that many profitable markets. It's like there's stock trading, there's internet marketing, there's dog training, wedding favors, and weight loss. And if you're not in one of those markets, you're not making any money. But I think the truth of the matter is, you know, there's literally thousands of little niche markets out there that anyone can go into, and you know, you can almost put, you know, 100 new people into the general marketplace, and they're never going to infringe on everything you're doing anyway. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of a moot point. I think you answered that really well.
And another thing, and you hit the nail on the head there as well, it comes down to the psychology of the individual. That idea that the person who is asking that question, typically speaking, is looking for a reason that it won't work. So they're already putting themselves in a worse situation because they're thinking this is not going to work right from the get-go. That's a really bad place to start anything in life. If you start out with, why is this not going to work for me? You'll find a reason. Like, I mean, there's plenty of good reasons. You don't need 10 good reasons why it won't work for you. You need one good reason why it won't work for you. But you don't have to go out and look for those reasons why it's not going to work for you. Like, you just want to gravitate towards the people who clearly are walking the walk and people who are doing it. Like, I think that's an important thing. Like you said, that's the area that you focus in on. And then just expect it to work for you. I think that's the best thing that you can do, you know, just expect it to work for you and follow it and really get into it. Because half the time, for a system really to work, you need to make it your own. Like, this is coming from my stock market days. I can give you the perfect system, stock market system. I can show you exactly when you should buy, exactly when you should sell, exactly how to do your money management. But unless you follow that system, it's not going to work for you. So people get stuck because they're not very good at following the system. And I think the other thing as well, if you're following a system exactly as to the letter, it's also very easy for you then, if for some reason it doesn't work, you can then go, oh, that didn't work for me because the system was flawed. So regardless of what system, what program you buy, I always suggest that you put you work through the system, then you put your own unique twist on it. Maybe you take my SEO method and you might add in blog comments, or you might add in something else. And the reason you do that is so that it's more accountable then. That way, if it doesn't work, it's not that the system was flawed. It was that you're not working and you have to take accountability, and then you'll rework it. Like, we can give you the material to make sure that you're on the right track, but you need to start to find what works for you and start to own what it is that you're doing and own your outcomes so that you can stop looking for excuses as to why it's not working.
That's brilliant. Look, I've trained, I think, close to 400 people now in the consulting niche, and, you know, I've got a pretty good data set on, you know, what makes people successful in this niche in particular, but I think it applies in general. And almost without fail, the people who have been the most successful have come into it and basically said, look, I know this has worked for you, so I know, you know, the system works. I'm going to make it work for me.
Yeah.
And the people who haven't been as successful as they wanted to be have come in and said, well, I know this worked for you, but here's why it won't work for me. Or here's, you know, the 10 reasons why it won't work in my area or whatever. And they've come into it, you know, and basically made their own bed by saying, look, this is why it's not going to work. And, you know, they basically make that outcome come true. Yeah. Whereas other people in the same market, in the same situation, you know, identical sort of scenario have made been successful just because they, you know, came in with a success mindset and said, I'm going to make this work because it's worked for someone else, so why not me?
Yeah, definitely.
I think at the end of the day, you know, a lot of what we do really is comes down to psychology and mindset and having the right, I guess, the right mind in everything you do. That's, you know, where a lot of success really comes down to. Like you said, you can give someone the best system, but if they're not going to apply it or not going to, you know, believe in it, they're not really going to have much chance of success. But I think, you know, the system you've put together is about as brain dead simple as you can get. You know, it's pretty step by step. The steps are all laid out in detail. You know, there's no ambiguity. It's simple. It's just a matter of applying it, making it your own, like you said, putting your own little tweaks and that to apply to your particular market, and then outsourcing and scaling it. And it's almost impossible not to get results, I think, if you do that.
Perfect. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Cool. Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining me. We've gone way over time from what I originally said the call was going to be, but I think you've delivered a lot of value. If people want to find out more about the SEO method, check out the SEOMethodBonus.com. Dave, thanks again. I really appreciate your time today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on the line.